So council, can I be 10 minutes ahead?
Nope.
I think we can start with the speakers, and then at 1:30 we can make an additional call for further speakers.
Okay, that, I think that's fair. That way we move the process along. Thank you for your suggestion. So I do have currently four speaker cards. So I will start with the Sarah Issa. Please state your name.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Sarah Issa. I'm a project planner with the City of Santa Barbara Public Works Department. And I'm here today to just present a few comments on the current state of our desalinization reactivation plan for the city. As you may know, the city has a need for desalination, and it's part of our long-term water supply plan. The city is working through the necessary permitting steps to reactivate the facility. And just this week, on September 23rd, our council authorized staff to proceed with submitting a coastal development permit to the California Coastal Commission for the repair and maintenance activities associated with reactivation in their jurisdiction. The city is working with other permitting authorities to move the process forward in a cooperative manner, and this includes working with the regional board staff and state regional board staff. So we will be coming back to you in the next few months with a new NPDES permit application. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your comment. And next speaker is Kira Redmond.
Thank you, Chair, board members. My name is Kira Redmond. I'm the Executive Director of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. And I'm also here to talk about the City of Santa Barbara's efforts to reactivate its desalination plant. As you probably are aware, the city is planning on using an open ocean intake with a screen to draw the source water into the plant. And I don't know if you're aware, but they have been lobbying actually very aggressively against the State Water Board's policy, which will likely require subsurface intakes if they're proven to be feasible. As you have just heard, the city is moving very quickly towards this, and so a coalition of environmental groups, including Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, the California Coastal Protection Network, California Coastkeeper Alliance, and Surfrider, have been meeting with the mayor and various other council members and the Public Works Director to ask them that they currently, right now, include in their request for proposals for their design, build, operate contract a study of the feasibility of subsurface intakes. We've grudgingly accepted that, yes, they're in an emergency situation and they need that water now, so we'd be willing to accept them using the open ocean intake for an interim period until the emergency subsides, but we want them to look at the subsurface intake possibility now, concurrently. Unfortunately, Tuesday at their city council meeting, the council declined to do that because they're concerned that that's going to add time to their process and they are in a rush. What they did do was say they would tell their staff to looking at the feasibility of a subsurface intake in 2016. So I understand that they have been asking you or will be asking you for an amendment to their NPDES permit to allow the open ocean intake, based on information that they collected and studies they did in the late 80s and early 90s when they originally built the plant. Obviously, technology has advanced since then, as has the regulatory environment with the once-through cooling policy and now with the State Water Board's draft desal policy, which will, as you know, require subsurface intakes if it's feasible. The city actually, in those studies, didn't look at all at subsurface infiltration galleries. So obviously, Channel Keeper is concerned about the impacts to marine life and our local fisheries and our economy from using an open ocean intake in the Santa Barbara Channel. So I'm here to ask you that, and I will be here again when you hear this item in January to ask you to require Santa Barbara to do the subsurface intake feasibility analysis now, and if feasible, require them to do it, to transition to it once the drought emergency is over, as a condition on their permit. And so we'll obviously be submitting written comments and appearing before you again in January, but I just wanted to give you the heads up that we're concerned and that we're hoping that you will do this to protect the environment in Santa Barbara.
Thank you for your comment. And I noticed my colleague, Dr. Hunter, wanted to ask questions, but I think we need to be careful. This is not an agenda item. It is agendized for the beginning of next year, and I know council indicated that we should not enter into communication. So I'll let you be the bearer of bad news or maybe give a different interpretation from my perspective on this.
You are correct. I know Monica may have a question, and depending on what that is, it may be allowable. But even in this setting, even though it is a public setting, it is still considered ex parte communications. So we will, if need be, provide a copy of this to the city, although I'm glad to see that at least one member of the city is here today. So it is an impending item. It's not pending technically because the draft isn't out, but we know it's going to be on the January agenda and it's impending, so we are asking that the board do not have any ex parte communications at this time.
And this applied to me, for example, where I had the very last opportunity when we had a preliminary round this conference call between regional board, state board, and the city. This was the very last day, basically, where I was able to, you know, provide some inputs, and since then I had to recuse myself from being a participant in any conversations or emails exchange on the topic. And, you know, I think it's also a matter of fairness if we go into a lot of exchange with, you know, with this speaker, you know, maybe we haven't extended the same courtesy to the city of Santa Barbara. So,
I'll just say, at the just to remind everyone, we are going to have the meeting in Santa Barbara. We will do very thorough briefings for the board members in preparation. Also, we'll ensure that we allow plenty of time for this item so that everyone's questions can be answered and there can be good, vigorous discussion.
Okay, so if what I'd like to do, Jessica, is just pose the question and you can comment before anybody talks any further.
Sure.
It actually is just clarifying something that she reported on. I just want to understand what the city council voted on. I wasn't clear that they rejected the request to do the feasibility study, but then I thought I heard the outcome was that they're going to direct staff to do a feasibility of subsurface by 2016. That was all I was trying to clarify.
Can we save a copy?
If she does allow that question to be asked, I would suggest we also allow the city to respond also, because it was but first let's let Jessica decide whether or not we can even proceed.
But you know, before Jessica proceeds, as chair, I have to say that I'm not comfortable with this process because this has not been publicly announced. There could have been other parties who had an interest on the topic. And, you know, this is public comment. This is not an agendized item. So I'm not really comfortable engaging and basically disenfranchising other parties from, participating at the conversation. And that's, as a chair, that's my input to council.
Yeah, I agree that we should wait for this process, and I'm sure it will. Your questions and more will get answered.
That's fine.
Jessica, this document that we just passed out, is this something that we can read?
That's fine. You can read it, and we will provide a copy to the city to ensure that they have access to it as well.
Okay. Did all
the letter was to the city, so they have.
All the board members did not get a copy of this.
Sorry, I didn't.
We'll
make sure we have
copies
for everyone.
Yeah.
I'll make copies.
Well, we're going to have to do it now. You need to stay here. So there you go. Thank you.
So thank you for your comment.
That question.
Nope. Sorry. We can cover this next year.
I want to make one correction. The city said they'd be before us with a new MPDS. That's not correct. We will be reopening the existing. What will be before the board will be whether we open the existing permit and make modifications to it. It won't be a new MPDS permit.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker card is from Abby Taylor-Silva, 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, everyone. Abby Taylor-Silva with the Grower Shipper Association of Central California. Here on just 3 quick topics. One, I know you heard from board member Stephen Moore this morning about the expert panel recommendations. And as we said to the State Water Board on Tuesday, Grower Shipper very much appreciated the expert panel's final report. Was happy to see it entered into the record with the State Water Board. We're very supportive of a coalition approach on Region 3. And we appreciate the AR ratio ideas as well as the aggregation of data and a multi-year approach to looking at data in that report. Additionally, the focus on education is really nice to see, as well as the looking at the nitrate and water plans have a very iterative approach to them, and we were happy to see that. Also, as you know, the annual complaints for an updates are due on October 1st, as is the first nitrate reporting deadline for growers who are in Tier 2 and 3 and are high nitrate risk. And we held a workshop working with our partner, Claire Weinman, last week, and it was very well attended. We had 60 growers. It went for 4 hours, and I want to really thank Chris Rose and Monica Barricarte for coming up. They came up for the last 2 hours and answered a number of questions. I want to give you a quick idea of what some of those questions were. They really centered on Section C, which is when you kind of determine your high risk, if you're high risk, and that's a forward-looking determination, whereas the rest of the annual compliance forum is backward-looking at the last 12 months. And there's a lot of confusion about that in the industry, especially about when you make that change to the annual compliance form and when it's kind of counted towards next year. And I think Monica and Chris are going to really look at that, and we appreciate it. Additionally, there was a lot of question about crops that go for longer than a 12-month period or are harvested after August 31st. And I think these are challenges that our industry is really facing as they're filling out these forms. And we hope to kind of look to that expert panel recommendation that a coalition in the future would take a lot of that information and distill it down. I also just wanted to thank the regional board staff. The 401 certification on the Salinas River, as I understand, was accepted and put in yesterday. That's great, and we are really happy that we've done a lot in the last year. Staff has really worked well, I think, with the stakeholders, and we appreciate all the work that's been done, and we're very excited to begin working in the river on phase one beginning October 1st. Hopefully, we're just waiting on, I think, one or two more of the federal permit signees to do so. The growers are also looking at phase two, which is creating new river management units in the model that TNC helped us create for phase one, and we're actively working on putting that together. So it's very good, it's very hopeful, and we appreciate your work with us on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Abby.
Abby, I just have a couple questions or maybe just a couple comments. You weren't here this morning when I actually made a comment about the expert panel results and asked staff to, in addition, shooting out a copy of the executive summary to maybe also start working on some opinion-based information on pros and cons and what's still to work on. And I would like to offer that suggestion to you and your peers also. And
wonderful.
I think you should probably just send it here and let the board staff disseminate it. But I personally would love to see some type of bullets or reflections on where you think what you see is going to be implemented is either a pro or a con and why not, or what could be improved.
Okay.
Same thing with the your comments, the ag waiver process. Sometime late next year, we'll probably be starting on that. And I don't really take really good notes on comments you make during public comment, but I, again, made the comment earlier today with staff that I'm hoping that that process for renewal will be early and casual-based for discussion points. And so I would encourage you and your peers also to begin looking forward. And as you have little improvements like this, to either start categorizing them, passing them along, whatever. I'm very supportive of the process from the 10,000-foot level, but I know there's lots of improvements to be made down on the ground, so to speak, and those details shouldn't get lost. But by the time we get to formal hearings, they often do. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. And those conversations are starting, and we look forward
Good.
To that.
Thank you.
But on that subject, Mr. Harris, could you clarify where the State Board stands on the response to the committee?
So at the end, the purpose of the agenda item was for the State Board to accept the report, which they did. Then there was a discussion about next steps, and I think it was Board Member Didi Diadamo, I believe, who asked the question about where we go or how we... And Darren Poemis, who was leading the expert panel, made the suggestion, and it wasn't... I mean, this is where you got to be careful about board members and making sure direction is clear, is he suggested that staff take time to look at it and to come back with specific recommendations for the board's consideration. At that point, they sort of nodded and said, yes, that sounds like a good idea, but there was no formal motion or formal direction to staff. My anticipation is that the regional board and state board staff, I hope, will have a chance to sit down and go through it and put together, look at the recommendations and kind of sift through which ones we would propose that we consider to the state board. I don't think they're asking for us to come back with any formal action. It may just be a report that's published or something, a letter or something that gets published about what we're going to do. My commitment to the state board was that we would take up the report in terms of considering the suggestions during the next order, because we've committed to starting it, you know, December, January, somewhere in that time frame this year. We're going to try and do these workshops, the conversational workshops with all the growers during the winter months, because they're busy. We worked that out with Abby and the other folks, that we would try to do this work in the winter when the growers have time to actually attend the meetings. So to try to open up, you know, do anything with that now would be, I think, be very disruptive. We're halfway through our existing order. And in fact, Jessica and I were talking at lunch that the waiver expires March 2017. There's nothing in statute that says you, even though this board did extend the previous waiver, whether you can or can't do that legally with an NPDES permit. It's in statute. You can, or in the regs, that you can do that. So we really need to back our timeline up and say we either need to shoot for like November 2016 or January 2017, so that if there is a hiccup in the process, we have one more shot, one more bite at the apple to get whatever form the next program takes, get that approved before the waiver expires. My preference is not to allow the waiver to expire without having something else in place. And I think we're going to start early enough, and I think the relationship we have with Ag at this point is at a point where we'll be able to meet those deadlines.
Thank you. And I requested that clarification, Mr. Jordan, and you know, knowing a little bit of the background of where Mr. Harris was heading.
So one of the reasons I keep bringing this up is that I see a direct nexus between the results of the expert board and our renewal, and not just in terms of what may be adopted at the state level. Some things that may not be adopted at the state level might also be applicable and palatable for all the people, the stakeholders and the staff in this region too.
Correct.
And so that's the reason I'm kind of hesitant to say, oh, we're going to kind of let it work through this process rather than start feeding information out so we could start looking at that from both ways, from a totality. So by the time the state gets around going through their process and they do or don't adopt something, you still get the full range of the menu to talk about when you start looking at the renewal.
We'll have that before we start the public dialogue. One of the things we don't want to do is the state board has been pushing the ag programs because they all developed in isolation to some degree. They have been pushing us to be more consistent across the state. So yes, there will be aspects of that report that we might want to implement that the Central Valley may not want to, and vice versa. It doesn't mean there's a size fits all, but the staffs of those major regions and the state board staff, we do need to sit down and talk about the report and come up with at least a list of items that we may want to incorporate into future orders.
Thank you.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, and I'm glad that you were able to put that in context. I think we heard Mr. Moore in his report comment that there are concerns that the statewide process could roll back some of the local, regional kind of elements of our program that have that are specific to our problems, our issues. So I agree that I would like to see the report and see what has application for us that could be helpful to us to get closer to be consistent. But we also want to recognize where our specific problems and our solutions, where our resources are best directed, right? We've got priorities that we understand. Forgive me if you said this, but if you did, I missed it. In our process moving forward, will we have workshops where the board is also attending as in a similar fashion? I know you weren't involved in the prior one, and I found those full workshops, first of all, they were really well attended, which was important, but second, it really gave us a chance to be involved in the discussion prior to things being kind of locked into a permit with all the conditions worked out. And I thought that was something that Mr. Jeffries maybe can comment on this as well, that we felt that was something that was really important, very strategic to getting to an agreement.
So all the public workshops will have language that says, for example, a quorum of the board may be present, but no action will be taken. So they'll be structured so that any of you can attend any of the workshops at any time you wish. And I would suspect at some point we will have maybe a couple of formal workshops where the full board is present. But initially, they're really brainstorming, talking about what's been working, what's not working, you know, what do you want to see in the next order. And it's not just the coalitions, but it's individual farmers. It's going to be the EJ community who's going to step forward. But you will all have access to those workshops if you have time. What we can't do is try to structure, and there's a lot of work to do. We can't structure them around your schedules. Maybe a couple of the very formal ones we will, but the other ones are going to be, they're going to be spread throughout a number of years, a couple of years. And so if you have time and you want to attend, you're certainly welcome to do so.
Plus, thank you, Dr. Hunter. Plus, I would assume that we'll have geographic diversity on where you hold the workshops.
Oh, sure, anyway. Absolutely.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
One more question.
Let's see. Did you have a question, Mr. Johnson? Or it was just gesticulation?
I was just getting excited.
Oh, okay. All right.
This stuff excites me.
All right. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. So
I think they have special counselors for, you know.
A different kind of counsel. Mr. Jeffrey get a question.
I'll yield to Dr. Hunter.
Okay.
And I'll need to come back to me.
I did have quite a follow-up to that. It was, who is leading this now on staff? I see a lot of new assignments, and so I'm just
clarifying. I am. The responsibility is mine, but certainly with staff. So we do have, so Angela still is, it's part of that whole shift where Taya is taking over from Harvey, and Chris Rose is no longer TMDLs. He actually is we call him the Ag Program Manager, but Angela is still part of one of the seniors who has responsibilities. Yeah, it'll be a group effort, as always.
But somebody else now.
Okay. Yeah, me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, and we're in good hands, with Mr. Harris, because since he you know, he came on board, you certainly have shown no hesitation to go to meetings and meet people. So I think that's, you know, that's a good thing. And
As long as you don't restrict me to the office.
No, we won't. Within reason. If there is a little airport nearby, I'm sure you'll go.
Yeah, have airplane will fly. But I just want to congratulate you, Mr. Harris, on your outreach to the, especially the ag community. I think you've resolved a lot of issues and assumptions and misinformation that has been put out there in the past. But I did want to comment on Dr. Hunter's comment that on the workshops, I think they're extremely important. And not only that, but I think as many of us that can attend these workshops, whether they're formal or informal, it's nothing like hearing it from straight from the person than hearing it or reading it on a piece of paper, because the expression of people's face, their inflection of their voice, all makes a difference on how you interpret the input that you're receiving. So I'm a person, I'm a people person. I like to hear what they have to say. I think if I can use an ag terminology, we can call out some of the information that's not really important and really get down to the nitty-gritty of what this next ag waiver is going to be about. And I hope that it won't be as drastic as it was 3 years ago. And it would be nice if it comes out as a win-win situation, but you know, our job is, we did earlier with Los Osos, you make decisions not always that are favorable, but that's what we get paid for, the big dollars, is to make those kind of decisions. But again, I encourage the staff to continue to work with the ag community, and I think the ag has got an open door back to the staff. And I think if there's an issue, instead of letting it fester, let's get to the source now instead of waiting a couple years down the road and then try to have to fight the battles at that particular time. So I would like to be informed of all of the workshops, and if I possibly can be there, I will be there because I want to hear what has to be said. It's important to me because I live right smack dab in the middle of the ag community up in the Salinas Valley, and it's extremely important to our community. Not only for agriculture, but for employment and economic benefit to the community. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I'll stop.
We still have one speaker card.
One comment. I'm lucky that I came in after the heavy lifting was done. And a lot has happened since that last order was adopted. We've had multiple big task force looking at nitrogen and the expert panel. We've had the order go through the petition, it's been tested. Ag has stepped up to the table and is doing their part. And so, you know, the environment's very, very different than it was before. So I expect that although we won't agree on everything, I think we'll agree on a lot. And what has to come out of this ag order is going to be different than what came out of the last one. So I'm optimistic that it'll be relatively smooth and that we'll get it done in a timely fashion.
Well, if I'm here, I'm looking forward to that happening. I got about 6 days left, so.
Well, we have a lot of positive objectives so far. We have one board member is excited. We have a board member is looking forward. So, I mean, it's all positive in this room. So with that note, I would like Claire Weinman, if you please come to the podium.
Dr. Wolf. Jessica, a point of clarification on the workshops. Can more than one board member attend at a time, or is it limited to the two?
No, the notice will state that a full quorum may attend, so all board members that would like to attend may do so.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Claire Weinman. I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. I'm glad you got it all sorted out in terms of what I was going to talk about, but I was hoping to briefly touch on the conclusions and recommendations of the expert panel Also, in the greater context of us assisting our members to comply with the October 1st nitrogen reporting deadline, and then looking forward, as you've been discussing, to the regulatory program in 2017. We have participated, the association has participated throughout the panel's process, and we have worked with our water committee to review at every step from the questions, the first draft, and the final recommendations. We do support the panel's process and the conclusions and recommendations to the state board and look forward to implementing those recommendations in the future. The panel members, as you may or may not know, are each experts in their field, and they definitely thoughtfully address the technical complexities of how to regulate irrigated agriculture. They carefully considered extensive public comments in their own expertise in developing those recommendations in response to the questions that were posed to the state board. So again, we look forward to incorporating these recommendations into a program that will better accomplish our mutual goal of protecting water quality. One of the key recommendations that the panel spoke to is the establishment of coalitions, and they strongly support that, as do we, especially to serve as the intermediate body between farmers and the regional boards. We are currently in the throes of assisting our members with the October 1st nitrogen reporting deadline, and so far, individual nitrogen reporting has proven to be a very difficult requirement to comply with. To date, we've hosted 3 workshops in the past 3 months, one of which was in partnership with Abby's organization, and reached over 180 participants. So very well attended, great questions, great discussion. Beyond that, not to mention the weeks that it takes to develop those types of very technical, detailed presentations, we've spent weeks and weeks answering individual questions for our members. And so that's enabled staff to spend resources in other ways. And so that's an example of a win-win situation where we can assist our members. And so, again, coalitions have a very important role and can serve in that capacity. I'd also like to congratulate and thank Water Board staff in helping us to work through some of those issues. They've been very willing partners any times that we've had questions or asked them to review materials. They've been very responsive and would like to thank them for their engagement. At the same time, some of the problems that we've been encountering with the process are related to the regulatory structure, and we hope to work through those issues and better address them in whatever program we come out with in 2017. But again, either way, the problems that we're experiencing now really illuminates the need for the proposed coalition-based aggregation and the inconsistencies of what is being reported right now on an individual basis to the Water Board. In conclusion, I just wanted to once again speak to the recommendations of the expert panel, to the difficulties, but we're doing our best with the October 1st nitrogen reporting deadline and look forward to discussions for 2017. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Council?
We should just make one last call for speaker cards since it's now after 1:30.
That is correct. Last opportunity. So I seeing none, I think, or we close our public comment item. Any other item, Mr. Harris?
That's it. We're done for the day. You are dismissed if you so choose.
So, yes, of course.
I just want to note for the record that in the 3+ years I've been on the board, this is the first public comment that I have not seen Steve Shimmick at. Is something wrong?
Maybe he's on his right.
Maybe he's on vacation.
Wow.
He has nothing to say. I thought you were going to say it was the first time we finished early.
I'll let him know you missed him.
All right, so this will conclude our September the 25th meeting, and we will reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m. So our meeting is officially adjourned, and I would like our clerk of the board to notice that I made absolutely sure to make the proper statement. Thank you. So meeting adjourned. Thank you.